from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, back in our studios in New York City. Our video producer is out of the city today, so we'll have video streaming live tomorrow. Today, we're going to talk about how a Mediterranean diet during pregnancy is associated with improved maternal health outcomes. This is from Queen Mary University, and we have several other important health studies. We also have a guest in the second part of our program today. He is Dr. Mark Grossman. He's an internationally respected holistic ophthalmologist and optometrist, and he's been practicing for 40 years. And he's known as the holistic eye doctor. And we're going to talk about natural eye care and the prevention of eye and sight degeneration, especially from those who are watching blue screen computers all day long or their cell phones or laptops. All that's damaging to the eye. Also today, we're going to look at the latest on global warming. And then we're going to play you two separate audios, not the whole thing, we won't have time, but 5G could wipe out humans, plants, and animals, according to Dr. Martin Paul. We'll hear what he has to say. He's done a lot of research. And then renowned neurosurgeon Dr. Charlie Tu is calling for the right to know about cell phone radiation. And he's very knowledgeable in the field. He's a neurosurgeon, but he also has seen a rise in cancers because of cell phone usage, especially in younger people. So as you see, it's all about the environment, all about health today. And plus, I have an interesting little comment to make, and I'd like your feedback from your perspective a little later on about something I noticed just recently. In fact, when I was flying back yesterday, I was thinking about this, about how few people, when we watch them on the screen, really have the it factor. Now, for any of you who were in my generation, the baby boomers, there were so many people that we loved seeing. So we're going to get to that, and then your ideas, because today, I just don't see it. I see very highly paid performers who have almost no charisma, and movies that are just boring on every level as compared to other generations. Let's begin. The latest on health and healing is about tree nuts, predominantly walnuts and extra virgin olive oil, are featured as key foods in a new clinical trial that assessed the impact of a Mediterranean diet on maternal and fetal outcomes. And the new study found that women who followed a Mediterranean-style diet during pregnancy, including a daily portion of tree nuts, generally walnuts, plus extra virgin olive oil, had a 35% lower risk of gestational diabetes on average and gained less weight compared to women who received the standard prenatal care. Now, we know that the Mediterranean diet is rich in unsaturated fats, and it's extra virgin olive oil. And Edam olives, of course, are very good, plus lots of beans. Have you ever noticed that in the Mediterranean, they must have at least 100-120 different variety of beans, and they have wonderful ways of marinating them and preparing them. So they each have a different unique taste and smell and mouthfeel, but they're also highly nutritious. Generally speaking, there are some exceptions like the soybean, which can give you up to 27 grams of protein in a single cup. But a can of beans would give you about 7 to 9 grams of protein, and that's just one item in a meal, so that's very good. So if you want to have healthier pregnancy for the mother and child, have the Mediterranean diet. Also, consuming 60 grams of nuts a day. Now, that's only that's about 4 ounces. That's not much. Actually, it's not even 4 ounces. It's 2.5 ounces. that could fit in the palm of your hand easily. It improves your sexual function. This is according to University Virgilia in Italy, researchers from the Human Nutrition Unit at the university, as well as another health research institute, have found that consuming nuts improves sexual function, and they've conducted the first nutritional intervention study with healthy participants of reproductive age in order to determine if regular consumption of nuts has any effect on sexual functioning. And the analysis was part of a whole project, and it found it really does. And then you ask, well, why? What's in the nuts? And then you start seeing, well, L-arginine's in there, and that's great. And there are essential fatty acids. And these all play a role on hormones. And if your hormones are balanced, then your libido is going to be heightened. Also, for men, the prevalence of erectile and sexual dysfunction is pretty high. In fact, it's almost 52% in men 40 and older. And the risk factors are generally people are consuming alcohol. That's a vasoconstrictor, lack of physical exercise, stress, and an unhealthy diet. So a healthy diet, healthier sex life. From the University of Queensland, can zinc be used to treat UTIs? That stands for urinary tract infections. They're one of the most common bacterial infections worldwide. And if left untreated, they can lead to serious conditions like kidney disease and kidney infections and sepsis, which is an infection. They're often treated with conventional medicine and antibiotic drugs, which come with adverse side effects and can even result in antibiotic resistance. So then when you do get an infection and you do need an antibiotic, frequently the antibiotic won't work. And by the way, the people who consume chicken and beef and dairy have the highest rate of antibiotic resistance because the animals are fed these. Now, they lie about why they feed them. Well, because of infection. That's only partially true. It was shown almost 40 years ago that by giving antibiotics to cattle, they gain weight. And since cattle are sold by the pound, even if it's water weight, they're making money. So that's why. And then there's supposed to be a period of time that they withhold any antibiotics so it clears out of the system. But it will frequently take weeks to completely clear out, and sometimes they're fed antibiotics right up before slaughter. So then you eat the meat, the antibiotics are passed into you. Now, when you do this once, that's not a problem. But when people are eating, they're eating the same type of food almost ritually on a daily basis. Therefore, over a period of 5 or 10 or 20 years, now they have antibiotic resistance. Don't even know it until they get sick or get an infection. So when you have overused antibiotics, and a lot of children do because of inner ear infections and upper respiratory tract infections, more often than not due to vaccines, destroying their immune system. Mind you, think of the common sense of this issue. A child's immune system is only partially developed by the age of 3. It's not even fully developed by the age of 6. And yet before the age of 3, they've had dozens of vaccines into their body. And those vaccines overstimulate the immune system. That's the purpose of adjuvants like aluminum. And aluminum as an adjuvant is a neurotoxin. There are over 1,000 articles in the peer-reviewed literature on the toxicological effects of aluminum. There is no safe level of aluminum. Aluminum is not an essential nutrient. It's not needed in the body at all. In fact, there's not a single ingredient in any vaccine the body requires. In fact, every ingredient in a vaccine is inherently dangerous, inherently unhealthy. That's according to U.S. Supreme Court. But it's also loaded in the body of the scientific literature. So imagine then that one day you've eaten too much sugar. You've consumed alcohol, which, by the way, is converted into sugar, but at much higher calories per gram, about 7, where carbohydrates and protein, it's 4, and fat, it's 8. So it doesn't take a lot of fat in the diet to get fat, especially if they're saturated fats. So hence, scientists have been looking at the urinary tract because it is so susceptible to a person's immune system and bacterial contamination. So here's where they use zinc. And by the way, the University of Queensland is in Australia, and it shows that zinc is very good for treating urinary tract infections, especially the E. coli, which is the primary cause of urinary tract infections. But I have my own suggestion, and I've helped a lot of people overcome urinary tract infections with this simple advice. I start by giving them cranberries as a concentrate, unsweetened concentrate, and they put 2 tablespoons, or about 2 ounces of cranberry concentrate, unsweetened, into a glass. They then add 2 ounces of ginger juice and 2 ounces of lemon juice and 1 ounce of apple cider vinegar. They also use Paudarco, P-A-U-D-A-R-C-O. That is a very powerful antibacterial herb. And they use a teaspoon of real bee propolis. And if you're getting the real McCoy, it looks like you've just opened a can of motor oil. It's very thick, vicus, and smelly, but it's extremely good. It's what the bees use to line their beehives to kill bacteria. And then you dilute that with cabbage juice, 16 ounces, and you drink that twice a day. And I've generally gotten feedback that it's cleaned up the urinary tract infection and eliminated candida at the same time. From Northwestern University, we have a study about America's packaged food supply is ultra-processed. About 80% of Americans' calorie consumption comes from store-bought foods and beverages, and our food supply plays a central role in the development of obesity, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. And compared to other Western countries, the United States has more sugar and sodium than any other country in the world. And manufacturers can and should be doing a whole lot better, but they're not. And so people develop a craving for sweet, and they get it in the American diet. So we're way overexposed to products that are high in energy, saturated fat, sugar, and salt, and that's according to the new Northwestern University medical study. The reports that we are saturated with ultra-processed, unhealthy food. So this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrients. Now, this audience knows that, but we're always getting new listeners in from all over the world, so we wanted to let you know that your diet is crucial. And if you're taking in junk, you know, it's no. By the way, the same principle applies to everything else in life. Everything else. You go into a store. In fact, this just happened last week. I was curious. So I went into the Whole Foods market in Florida, and I looked at some of their so-called exotic fruits. And prickly pear, which generally is red inside. Some are green, but it's the real good ones are orb red. And they were almost $5 each. And passion fruit was $5, $4.95 each, $5. And their soursop was more expensive. And their dragon fruit, which is almost a non-tasty fruit. It's kind of a grayish white with seeds in it. Very pretty to look at. It makes wonderful decorations on a plate. And then you can always squeeze some, I like to take some raspberries and puree some raspberries and put some stevia in with the raspberries and then a little orange juice so you have a nice reduction and then spray that with a little spray water on an otherwise rather bland fruit like dragon fruit. And it just is so exciting to look at and eat at that point. So anyhow, then I went out to what is called Immokalee. That's the furthest place you can go before you hit the Everglades. It's a little drive. It's about 35 minutes. And there is the best farmer's market in America. and it's all from local people. They're the only ones allowed to have one there. It's like little shacks. It's what you would see if you were in Jamaica or one of the other Caribbean countries. Everything's very laid back. Everyone knows everyone. And because of having hundreds, actually thousands of animals to feed over the years with my animal sanctuary, I want to buy food that is fresh, healthy, organic, and inexpensive. A lot of it I grow. It's wonderful to go over to a cherry tree and pull down about a gallon of cherries, and then go to the loquat tree, and you get upwards to 1,000 loquat per tree. I got 40 trees. And you load up a bushel basket, and then you give it to them, and they'll just go right through that stuff, especially the monkeys. The monkeys are interesting. Monkeys will put a something juicy in their mouth, a grape, for example, or an orange, and they'll chew it, and then spit it out. They're getting the juice out of it. But they love the exotics. That's their favorite. And passion fruit's very, very good. If you've never had passion fruit, it's wonderful. So out there, and just this last weekend, in fact, I bought a whole case of that had over 100 of the prickly pears for $8. I bought a case of passion fruit, I'm guessing. In fact, I bought three of them. They were $6. It was $18 for three. I'm guessing there were about 80 different ones. Mind you, that would have been 80 times 5 or $400. I paid $18. I bought a beautiful case of dragon fruit. I guess there were about 30 in there for $7. It's just amazing that, you know, if you go out of your way, you can get local, delicious, organic, and very inexpensive. Now, if people were to learn to eat that way, it would be good. One idea, and this is just an idea to throw it out to you, open up a store in one of the less expensive areas of the boroughs. There's almost no less expensive left in the boroughs, but somewhere where people can get to, and open up a box store for organics where people buy case lots. They can come in and buy a case of something. And I think that would be enormously successful. It would help the public. They're getting a lot of good stuff at a big savings, so it's worthwhile getting there. And it would also be profitable for the person who is doing it. If you decide to do that, let me know, and I'll be happy to announce it as a public service. From the University of Barcelona in Spain, as well as University of Oviedo in Spain, the omega-3 fatty acid DHA is phenomenal at helping to manage attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. This was a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. So I know a lot of parents who are having problems with ADD and ADHD for a lot of different reasons, but this is just one more of the good things that can help. I would say 300 milligrams of DHA would make a big difference. Also, from the Federal Universities of San Catanera in Brazil comes a study about when you consume the polyphenol-rich tropical grape juice found to increase antioxidants and plasma in erythrocytes in healthy humans without increasing glucose or uric acid. So the uric acid level stays down, good. The glucose blood sugar stays down, better. And your body is flooded with these healing antioxidants and these polyphenols from grapes. One more reason to put grapes up on your list of the best foods, and they are clearly, there's so much value in grapes. That's why I consume grapes every single day. And there's a lot of different varieties of grapes, and that'll influence our bioactive polyphenol content. But the fox grape, FOX, is cultivated in most of your tropical regions, and that's what they make grape juice from. So my suggestion, since we're not likely to get the fresh fox grapes up here anytime soon, someone might want to go down there and work with the people who are raising the fox grape and have them make the juice down there or concentrate or powder and then ship it up. Because anything that could help diabetics or people who have dysinsulinism, people who have metabolic syndrome, that would be terrific for them. Also, when I mentioned to you that holding extra weight, even though psychologically you should not beat up on yourself for that, but physiologically you pay a price. And here's the cognitive disconnect. Because as a nation, we are not being honest about the reasons we do things, including overeat, and people say, oh, I'm frustrated or I'm stressed, so I ate some comfort food. But then what in your life is causing this at a chronic level that you're not aware of or willing to address? And I believe we need some honest discussion about what's wrong in our society. And we have things wrong. We have things right, of course, but we have an awful lot that's not working the way it should, at least not at this time. But in any case, when you're having any overweight on your body, you're killing yourself. And from the University of Miami, having a bigger waistline and a higher body mass index is linked to a greater signs of brain aging. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Neurology from the American Academy of Neurology. So once again, the fat on your waist, the fat on your buttocks and thighs, under your arms, well, you're also thinning your brain. Also from Columbia University School of Public Health, fracking activities are contributing to anxiety and depression during pregnancy. This is a new study. And we know that the water around fracking areas is toxic, and the air and the soil. But when people are around fracking, the noise is 24/7. The pollution is 24/7. And so if you're pregnant, it's contributing to the anxiety of pregnancy, and that can raise your cortisol level, and that can cause harm to the developing fetus. And also, when you're drinking coffee, and a lot of people drink a lot of coffee during pregnancy, you're damaging your baby's liver. This was just published in the Journal of Endocrinology. So get off the coffee during pregnancy, switch over to juices, healthy juices, and that'll be great. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. Thank you for sharing the information that we share with you each day. Ozone is a big threat. There were times in our history where areas of the world, generally Antarctica, were having ozone holes. And fortunately, because of environmental conservation, and we can thank Ralph Nader and the earlier environmental movement for that, that thinning was able to heal that hole. Now, it is increasing, according to University of Delaware, the ozone threat from climate change is real serious. Increasing temperatures due to climate change will shift climate conditions, resulting in worse air quality by increasing the number of days with high concentrations of ozone, according to a new journal article on air quality published in the about the Mid-Atlantic region. So, one more reason why we should be concerned about ozone and the ozone layer. You see, when you have a hole, the sun can come right through, and when the sun hits you, you can get a third-degree burn in a matter of seconds. And it virtually would make life completely uninhabitable in an area where there's an ozone hole. Now, over the Antarctic, nobody pays attention. We should, but we don't. But if that same ozone hole was over Manhattan, there wouldn't be a single person able to live in Manhattan. It would destroy everything that no plant could survive, no tree, no bush, no shrub. So pay attention. It's thinning. I had recommended about 20 years ago that North Carolina would be a good place to live. It had a good progressive community down there. It had good educational institutions, lots of opportunities. It was a growth state, but it was also a natural state. Now, I don't recommend North Carolina. I recommend people move out of North Carolina because it's going to be hit with all these Category 5s and 4s coming up with massive flooding, and people don't have flood insurance. They may have hurricane insurance, which is separate from flood insurance. And then you got the mold, and then you got water that's just not normal and can drain out of the soil. You have water bombs that come down in massive amounts, and there's no place for the water to go. According to the University of North Carolina, North Carolina coastal flooding is worsening with climate change and population growth. So everybody wants to move at the beach out there. Now all those beaches, now the sea is taking them back, and the storms are causing massive flooding. So not a place to live in the future. Also, on a separate issue, parents who won't vaccinate their kids are turning to homeschooling in California. And there's a whole article in the Los Angeles Times about this. They're rather mawkish on it, not realizing how beneficial proper homeschooling can be, and far better than a traditional school, if you also make sure that the child has opportunity to interrelate with other children, to play and to learn, to have peer social bonding, so they don't feel isolated. But a lot of parents, rightly so, don't want their children vaccinated because they looked up the dangers. So they're homeschooling. Well, here's the bad news, California. They're going after all homeschool children as well. So all children, no exceptions, religious, philosophical, medical, with exception of a certain number that Dr. Pan suggests is like, 12 or 13,000, be exempt for medical reasons. Well, with millions upon millions of children, I think over 11 million children, how in the world can you just have a handful, less than 0.01% get exemptions when we know that there are a lot of kids who have medical conditions? But this is where your body politic can destroy the quality of life in a state, and it's already done that in California. So my suggestion, move out of California. It's not sustainable on any level for the future. And from Vera Sherry on Alliance for Human Research Protection, leading obstetrics journal recommends increasing drugs for pregnant women, but they didn't disclose that they're receiving lots of money from big pharma sponsors to tell the pregnant women to get the drugs and take the drugs. That's unfortunate, but that's so typical today. Also, just a few program announcements. One is that I was asked just last night, would I help lead a 5G demonstration today? And I was only too happy to. The people who are doing this are concerned citizens. They've organized. And so we're starting a worldwide campaign to challenge 5G. I commend all the people that put this together. These are just citizens. So it's tonight at 6:30 at New York University College of Dentistry. I will be there. It's at 345 East 24th Street. That's at 1st Avenue and 24th Street, right there. You'll see other people. So please arrive around 6 p.m., and I'll be speaking at the protest promptly at 6:30, because also tonight I'm going up to premiere my film at a sold out. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, but we're sold out. We've been sold out for 2 weeks. There are always people, from my experience, who, for some reason, make a reservation and can't show up. So there's a chance that if you show up at the box office, you'll be able to get a ticket if someone doesn't show up. At the last screening we did, where every seat was taken, down at the New School with the three theaters, it was their largest theater, I think 700 seats, and they sold it out in like an hour. But a lot of people showed up. When I showed up, the whole long line outside, and they said, can you try to see if we can get in? So fortunately, one of my friends went around and started counting seats, and we found there were about 40 empty seats. So we went outside, and there were 42 people. And so everybody got in, and two people, I said, there's no seats. You can stand in the back. They said, fine. So that does happen, but otherwise we're sold out. And this Sunday, a completely separate film. This was a very busy year. And I'm going to ask Sharon, our archivist, to ask Val to bring in, and Jay, the awards that these two films have won just this year. I believe I was told, if it's accurate, that these are the two most winning documentaries in the world. So they're serious films. And the one tonight is not meant to make you feel good about yourself. It's to make you aware of how you've been lied to by authorities, the government agencies, the medical community. It's a hard-hitting film. And on Sunday's film, totally different film. It is a feel-good film. It's a film where you feel good about life. So that's coming up, coming at you on Sunday at the Huntington Arts Cinema. Now, we're always sold out. I must have done 15, 16 years straight of I go out with a film on a Sunday and show it and then have a discussion, lecture afterwards. We've never had an empty seat. So if you go to GaryNall.com, you'll see how we made it real easy for you to get a ticket out there. Okay, that's Sunday, this coming Sunday, a really positive, upbeat film meant to help you overcome disease and live a longer life. It's very powerful in a good way. It gives you hope in a realistic way. So I look forward to seeing all the wonderful people out in Long Island. And the following Sunday, I'll be in Woodstock, or Saturday. I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday. One of those 2 days, I'll be in Woodstock. I'll let you know which day. I know they've already made reservations, but I got to get a number for you. And that's a different film altogether also. But the huge film, the film on the environment, that will be the most important film in my entire career, we're done. All photography is done. We're in the final stages of editing, and a trailer, a sneak preview, is being shown at both locations. So those of you who come tonight and those of you who come this coming Sunday in Long Island, you'll have a chance to see the extended length trailer. Normally, trailer's 2.5 minutes. This is, I think, 6 minutes. But it'll give you an idea of the scope, the breadth, the depth, filming all over the world, from the Sahara Desert to the glaciers of the Himalayas. It's exciting. Now, before we go to our guest, I want to play you a little bit on 5G and show you why this should be of concern to everyone, and that's why anyone who can attend this evening's demonstration that was put together by listeners who are concerned about this, and thank goodness for them. I don't have a list of their names. I would share it with you, but we're going to play this, and then I'm going to be tonight at 6:30. I got to Zoom from there up to the theater, so I'm going to give about a 10-minute talk and then get out. But I want everyone who can get there to come to New York University College of Dentistry, 345 East 24th Street and First Avenue in Manhattan, and show up, because you're a citizen. You will be negatively impacted when 5G goes through. Everyone on the planet will. This is everyone's battle. Everyone is adversely affected. Everyone is a victim. So we want to let them know we're not going to sit still and allow this to happen without protesting. So we're going to play this part of a clip before we go to our guests. Please stay with us.
20.66 grams per ton gold. Additional drill targets on the LH property.
July 4th, Bowen Island, July 5th, Vancouver, July 6th, and Surrey, July 7th. And all those, you know, all the information is on that is in on www.ceth.ca.
And first of all, we need to know, how dangerous is 5G and why did you start researching it?
Well, I've been researching how EMFs work and published my first paper on that in 2013, which was the explanation of how we get non-thermal effects, that is, how we get effects at very, very low exposures. And that's in turn opened up all kinds of things with regard to explaining all of the different effects that have been reported and which the industry denies all of them. And we have very good reason to think 5G will be vastly more dangerous than anything else that we've already been exposed to. So I'm extraordinarily concerned about it.
Now, what are these effects that come up?
Well, you get effects on the brain, neurological and neuropsychiatric effects, which become more and more severe with time. You get reproductive effects on male and female reproduction, increased spontaneous abortion, lowered levels of the three sex hormones, lowered libido. All those things are impacted. And those are already very far along in our populations, as are the neurological and neuropsychiatric effects. So that's completely apart from 5G. We also have DNA effects, which can produce mutations, in young babies, and also mutations that cause cancer. We have life-threatening cardiac effects. We have effects on essentially every hormone system in the body. And many, many other things that are either going on or we're pretty sure are going on. So we're living a nightmare scenario already, and 5G, I believe, will make things vastly worse.
I've heard that we live in what one person called a microwave suit.
It's just to give you an idea of just the smart meters. And this man brought a smart meter into this other gentleman's garage and measured the currents prior to attaching it, the normal analog, and it was not bad at all. The moment he put the smart meter onto the gauge, as would happen if the utility company came to install a smart meter in your house or apartment, the measurements just went off the chart. And he had been sleeping on the other side of the wall when he had migraine headaches, and he had fatigue and all these irregular heartbeat, and then realized it was from the electromagnetic pulses and frequencies from the smart meters. So do not allow a smart meter to be put into your apartment. You can. I came home and found a smart meter. I immediately called the company, told them, take it out. You take it out or I sue you. And they took it out and returned. And so you can fight them, and you can win on that. I'm going to save my comments and your comments about what I was saying about the lack of the it factor, the fact that we just don't have people in film today that are worth really, that are exciting to see, that you become attached to at some emotional level because you really appreciate their personality and the fun they're having. I'll save that for tomorrow because I want to go into greater depth on it. Also, I want to go into depth on who I consider the greatest dancers of all time, and which most people, I'm talking about theatrical dancers, not Nureyev, not Baryshnikov, but I'm talking about people that you may, I'm sure someone in the audience has heard of Savion Glover and Sandman Sims and Gregory Himes. And anyhow, I'm going to go through that tomorrow. Just want to mention that for the films you're going to see tonight and a different film on Sunday for tonight, we won the Platinum Award, International Independent Film Festival, Awareness Festival, Depth of Field International Film Festival, Hollywood International Moving Picture Festival, Honolulu Film Festival, Indie Fest Award of Excellence, Public Health Service, LA Underground Film Forum Festival, Auckland, which is an Australia International Film Festival, Miami Independent Film Festival, that's a biggie, also Canadian International Film Festival, The Real Real winner, Best Documentary, Global Film Festivals, World Fest Houston, this Golden Remy Award, their highest of the whole festival, Los Angeles Independent Film Festival, Los Angeles Film Awards. Wow, we have pages of this. And then for the one Sunday, oh, wow, I'm just looking at here page after page. So you're going to see two good films. Sunday, it's on Long Island, Huntington Arts, and I'm going to do a lecture afterwards. So go to my website, GaryNall.com. I don't know if they have many tickets left. It's always sold out. Now let's go to our guest. He's standing by. He is, I mentioned earlier in the show, Dr. Mark Grossman. He's up in Somers, New York, and he is the author of 5 books and the co-author of Natural Eye Care, Your Guide to Healthy Vision, a landmark 800-page guide for preserving healthy vision at any age and based upon peer-reviewed scientific literature. And he's been in clinical practice for about 40 years. He's up around New Paltz. And his website is naturaleyecare.com. Nice to have you with us today, Mark.
Thank you, Gary. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah. Mark, there are many different eye conditions to be discussed. However, I feel perhaps the most important one for listeners is the threats to vision in our computer and digital age, something called computer vision syndrome, or what is medically termed as a condition that can be irreversible. People are exposed to more blue light than ever before, and this also has an adverse effect on preserving healthy vision. And a large majority of Americans use smartphones daily. And today it's children who are most exposed to monitors and screens emitting blue light and consistently throughout the day, up to 10 hours or more. So I believe you have a lot to say about the use of these computers and phones and eyesight and vision. The forum is yours. Take your time.
Okay. Well, before you say that, I just want to thank you so much for the work you're doing, because I personally am EMF sensitive, so I love the fact that you're doing all that work there. And my son right now is taking tap dance classes, so I'm very excited about the things that you're presenting right now. But let's talk about computer vision syndrome. To be honest, that is the number one complaint of the patients that come into the office. And it consists of different vision problems. According to the American Optometric Association, the syndrome for computer vision syndrome, the most is eye fatigue. The eyes get tired. The eyes get drier. People get headaches. Vision goes in and out, and also due to the ergonomics of when they sit at the computer, if they are hunched over or it's not in a good place, they'll get shoulder and neck pain. Today, the average American spends over 8 hours a day using these digital devices, and over 75% of Americans are using smartphones on a daily basis, as opposed to 3 years ago, it was only 50%. So my belief is that function affects structure. If you're going to carry 50 pounds of rice on your back, eventually you're going to be crooked. If you're going to put your eyes under this kind of sustained strain, not only from the near vision tasks, because we tend to hold our smartphones closer than the average reading distance, but also from the radiation and the blue light that we'll talk about that comes from it, some things are going to break down. The eyes, there's over, it's going to be in about 20, 30 years, 5 billion people in the world nearsighted. Over 80% of Chinese and Japanese children under the age of 12 are now nearsighted. There's a myopia epidemic. And why? Because of the technological age. We are now what I call NDD, ODD, same thing, outside deficit disorder, nature deficit disorder. we don't spend enough times outside. In fact, I got a email text from the WebMD the other day, you know, a very traditional medical platform, talking about how the best thing that we can do to deal with myopia is to get our children outside. Now, let's look at, again, so we're already accepting the fact that people spend 8 to 11 hours a day using these digital devices. What can we do? And what does this blue light do? You know, today we have blue light filters that we can put on our computers. We have blue light glasses. But blue light is a very damaging to the eye, because blue light is the shortest wavelength. So therefore, it has more energy and flickers more easily than the longer, weaker wavelengths like purple. While not noticeable, blue light can create glare. It can reduce acuity, visual contrast, and cause those eye strain and headaches. The damaging effects of blue light are even more serious in low light condition when the pupil is enlarged. So that's why these people who they work on their cell phones in complete darkness in their bedrooms on their computers, that's not good, because their pupil gets bigger as there's less light. So therefore, the retina will get a larger dose of the blue light. In natural light, the blue light is combined with people with other spectrums of light, so therefore it helps us to maintain our circadian rhythm. But the artificial light at night can confuse our brains into thinking it's still daytime and affecting our ability to sleep well. So the lack of blue light at night stimulates the pineal gland and therefore produces, we don't get enough melatonin, which helps us sleep at night. So the blue light can also affect our sleep cycles. You want me to just keep going, Gary?
Yes. This is what we need to know this.
Okay, yeah.
So take your time, Mark. There's no rush.
Okay, because I'll also go into the nutritional things that you can do to help absorb blue light. But let's really get into the fact what blue light, how it can damage the eyes. Research shows that mice who were exposed to high levels of blue light showed massive irreversible cell death that was identified as shrinkage of protein, DNA, and RNA in both the inner and outer layers of our photoreceptors, which are photoreceptors in our eyes, or our rods and our cones. There was leaking and rupture of the fine blood vessel capillaries in the retina. Macular edema, edema or swelling of the retina. There was DNA expression of certain proteins. The blood-retinal barrier was damaged. This blue light is totally going to affect the health of our eyes. So, without further ado, what can we do to help this? You know, we want to, first, from a nutritional standpoint, what can we do? First is there are certain nutrients that help absorb the blue light, and I call them nature's sunglasses, such as vitamin C, lutein, zeaxanthin, and astaxanthin. So, you know, when I'm having people go on computers a lot all during the day, I'll recommend those kind of nutrients. I'll recommend different, glasses that help absorb the blue light. So you can get glasses that'll filter out the blue light. You can get them in your prescription, or you can buy them over the counter, on the internet, that help absorb blue light. So the computer vision syndrome, just getting away from the blue light for a second, will cause, again, different conditions. Eye strain, blurry or fuzzy vision because we're straining our eye muscles and the focusing system might go in and out. Difficulty focusing and concentrating at work because we're straining our eye muscles. The eyes can get dry because our blink rate tends to reduce more while we're working on the computer. And again, we also want to look at why some people are more susceptible than others. If you tend to have like bluish eyes or light-colored eyes, there might be more blue light damage because your eyes don't absorb, you know, the blue light people absorb more blue light than the people with dark brown eyes because the melanin pigment will help absorb some of the wavelengths. So the eyes get tired, and when the eyes get tired, the whole body gets tired. As an optometrist for 40 years and an acupuncturist for 26 years, because I've studied Chinese medicine, all the meridians go to the eyes. So if you're going to fatigue your eyes, you're going to fatigue your whole body. Another aspect is that the adrenal glands have the highest concentration of vitamin C in the body. The second most is the lens of the eye. So again, there's a big connection between the adrenals as we fatigue and our eyes. So our adrenals, if we have adrenal fatigue, it can make our eyes fatigue, or our eyes fatigue, it can make our body fatigue. So what can we do to do this? I call it the 20-20-20 rule, and this is super minimum. So every 20 minutes that you're on a computer or a digital device, look up at 20 feet for at least 20 seconds. To be honest, I would like even longer than that. But if people want to like set their computers or set their cell phones to take a break, my advice is after about 20 minutes, get up, go outside, stretch your body, do some yoga, look outside and take a walk. Get your body moving. We need to take breaks. I mean, there's a reason why accountants, lawyers, have such a higher degree of nearsightedness than professional farmers. Because, again, how we use and abuse our eyes affects what happens to them. Now, also that's important is the text size. The text size should be, you want it to be as large as possible, because if it's smaller, then you're going to be putting more focus, more strain on your visual system. And you want your computer monitor not at like 14 or 10 inches. You want it to be as far away as possible, 20 to 30 inches at least away from your system. And when it comes to color combinations, your eyes may prefer black text on a white background, or you might different contrasts and different colors. But you also want to decrease the brightness on your screen, because the brightness can also cause eye strain. So we want to learn to blink. You know, blinking and breathing. I call it the three B's as my mantra. Blinking, breathing, and beaming. Beaming is smiling. When you smile, it creates endorphins and doesn't let you strain your eye muscles. But blinking and breathing while you're working on the computer, remember to breathe. We need oxygen. So, you know, I can talk a lot about different eye conditions, but computer eye syndrome, my main thing is to take breaks. Other things people can do to bring more oxygen in is nose breathing. Nose breathing will bring 20% more oxygen than mouth breathing.
Mark, we're almost out of time. I would add, help people with their eyes by increasing the amount of trimethylglycine, TMG, which is a great oxygenator, vitamin E, at 400 units, with tocotrienols at 200 units, coenzyme Q10 at 200 to 300 milligrams, and L-carnitine at 500 to 1,000 milligrams twice a day. Those are also important because they're increasing oxygenation and microcirculation. And cayenne, as in high heat cayenne pepper, taken in capsule form three times a day, increases circulation of the microcapillary system, including in the eyes. Mark, we'll save the other eye conditions for another program, but thank you very much for sharing some natural eye care and the prevention of eye and sight degeneration from blue light. I appreciate it. And again, I've given you his email address, or certainly his website, naturaleyecare.com. And his name is Mark Grossman. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. I look forward to seeing some of you at the demonstration. Turnout. We need everyone there. 5G at 6 to 6:30. I'll be talking at 6:30. New York University College of Dentistry, 345 East 24th Street, First Avenue. And bring signs. And then we're there to let them know we have very little in the way of what we can do. They have all the power and support and corruption. So we have to find ways that we can make a difference. Showing up makes a difference. And tonight I'll look forward to seeing all the people at the screening. Have a nice day, everyone.
I couldn't make it.